आत्मनश्च परस्यापि याखरोत्यन्तरोदरम् तस्य भिन्नादृशौ मृत्युः विदधे भयमुल्बणम्. As the blazing fire of death, I cause great fear to whoever makes the least discrimination between himself and other living entities because of a differential outlook. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. There are bodily differentiations among all varieties of living entities, but a devotee should not distinguish between one living entity and another on such a basis. A devotee's outlook should be that both the soul and supersoul are equally present in all varieties of living entities. I would like to welcome everyone today to Sri Radha Gopinath Sunday Festival. We are continuing from this morning discussing this precious verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Kapila Dev is explaining to his dear mother, Devahuti, the process of devotional service. In these particular verses, he is putting tremendous emphasis on the quality of being kind and compassionate, as well as respectful to all living beings. Vidyavanaya sampane brahmani gavihastini suni chaiva svapakicha pandita samadarshana. The humble sage sees with equal vision the learned Brahman, the cow, the elephant, the dog, and the dog eater, because he sees that every living being is part and parcel of Krishna. Mamayavamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manashashtan indriyani prakriti stani karshati. We have to see through the eyes of the scriptures, because the soul is invisible to the material eye that is contaminated by misconception. The soul is said to be 1/10,000th the size of the tip of a hair. Even the most powerful of microscopes cannot detect it. And besides that, the soul is of the substance of the antaranga shakti. It is the spiritual energy of the Lord. Therefore, it cannot be seen by senses that are conditioned by material attachments. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santasa daivaradiya shivalokayanti. Just as Krishna can only be seen with the eyes that have been decorated by the ornament of love, similarly, his parts and parcels cannot be seen unless we have spiritual vision. So in the beginning, we cannot see the soul in another living entity, nor can we see the Paramatma. Krishna says in Gita that he is in the heart of every living being. Sarvasya chaham hridishani vashto matasmadir jnanam apohanam cha vidaishta sarver aham eva vedyo vedantakrit vedavideva chaham. He is seated in the heart of every living being. He is directing everyone. He is the source of remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. He is the compiler of the Vedas. He is the knower of the Vedanta. And by all the Vedas, he is to be known. Thus, we have to see through the eyes of the scriptures, with faith that awakens by hearing the truth in the association of devotees. We must learn to see the world. So we know as a fact that Krishna explains that the life-giving force of every living entity is the Jivatma, who is part and parcel of himself. And that as the Paramatma, he is seated next to each and every Jivatma within this material creation, as the neutral witness, simply waiting for that living entity to turn to him with sincere devotion. So with this knowledge, we must respect every living entity as part of Krishna. This morning we were discussing various examples in the scriptures of such great personalities. Because Mahajano Yena Gata Sapanta, we learn how to live properly by following in the footsteps of the great personalities. Mahatsevam Dwaram Ahurava Muktes Tamodwaram Yoshita Sangi Sangam. By serving great souls and by following in the footsteps of great souls, the doors to liberation are opened wide. However, by associating with those who are too much attached to the materialistic way of life, the doors to the lower realms of ignorance are opened wide in our life. So I'd like to give one example of one of our great acharyas, our beloved Param Guru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, how he had such deep concern for each and every living entity, especially for the devotees of the Lord. Sometimes devotees become very, very fanatical about how we are compassionate because we are vegetarians. And all of you people are killing the cows and killing the animals and drinking their blood and eating their flesh. You are malechas, you are yavanas, you're going to have to suffer torturous death for every hair on the body of the cow. So we may be good vegetarians, but we don't know how to treat other devotees. Sometimes we're cruel, we're disrespectful, we're antagonistic, we're neglectful toward other living beings in the form of Vaishnavas. So some people are kind to humans and cruel to animals, and some people are kind to animals or cruel to humans, but a Vaishnav is kind to every living entity, because he sees an offense to anyone is an offense to Krishna. To act maliciously or neglectfully toward any living being is an offense to the Jivatma and the Lord in their heart. Srila Prabhupada told us that we can show our love for him by how we cooperate with one another. Cooperation is not simply to avoid fighting. Cooperation means something very positive, a spirit of comradeship, a spirit of unity, of spirit. To please Prabhupada, we will put aside all of our egoistic conditionings, and we will unite to render service for the cause of Krishna consciousness and for the welfare of the world. Krishna explains in Gita, one who describes this message to his devotees is most dear to me, and no one will ever be more dear to me than him. Everyone is potentially a devotee of Krishna. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadya Kabunoi Sravanadi Sudhi Cheti Koriya Yudhoi. Pure love of God is within the heart of every living being. By chanting the holy names and associating with devotees, hearing about Krishna, this love of God is awakened within the heart. That is our purpose. We are united for that purpose, to please Krishna, to please Guru. And the greatest way of pleasing him is to enlighten other people in devotion to the Lord. A devotee never considers himself to be the doer of his activities. As soon as we think that I am compassionate, I am merciful, that means I am very proud and under the spell of illusion. Krishna is Jagadguru. He is supremely compassionate, supremely merciful. Srila Prabhupada has come to give us this divine message of Krishna. We are all coming together to try to just be instruments of his love, of his compassion to the world. If we can take that role in our life and make that prominent, then it is for certain our lives will be perfect. So one time Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur sent a few of his devotees to a very distant place to start preaching, a place where nobody had ever preached Krishna consciousness before in recent times. So they spent some years there, really, really working hard. Started with nothing and no one, and they actually developed an incredibly successful preaching mission. When Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur heard the news of their success, he was very pleased and told them, "Now you start a temple and try to open it on this particular auspicious day." So they collected funds, they preached and preached and preached. They had kirtan prasadam distribution. They were distributing his books. Soon they had thousands of people who became members of their congregation. They were contributing lots of money. They built a beautiful temple. They got wonderful carved deities to be installed. They called Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to come to install the deities and celebrate the inauguration of the temple. Meanwhile, as the devotees were working day and night, so hard, with such enthusiasm, one unfortunate incident happened to take place. One of the brahmacharis in the ashram was found acting inappropriately with a neighboring woman. So some of the senior godbrothers of him chastised him very harshly. The next morning, he was gone. He left with all his belongings. The devotees searched everywhere for him, but they could not find him. They felt very sad and repentant that maybe we were just too hard on him. But anyway, Guru Maharaj is coming. We have to work hard. So they just went into that gear and working, working, working. Garlands, mass prasad prepared. Beautiful decorations. Harinam Kirtan. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur arrived. He was so pleased by what he saw. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, all chanting the holy names blissfully. A beautiful temple with magnificent deities about to be installed. Prasad for thousands of people arranged. Dignitaries and all sorts of other very, very special VIPs had assembled. Srila Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati told them, "You are very successful. I am very pleased with what you have done in the service of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." The devotees were so satisfied to hear this. The perfection of their life had been achieved. By their efforts, they pleased their Guru Maharaj. Suddenly, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur inquired, where is this particular brahmachari? I do not see him anywhere. The devotees cast their heads down and told him exactly what happened. That we treated him quite harshly because he didn't act appropriately and he left. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur became very sad. And he spoke with great difficulty. It takes to save one person from the clutches of the illusory energy and bring him into the realm of devotional service. One man has come to us, and we have sent him back into the material world. All of these buildings and everything else that you have done here does not mean as much to me as that one person who has left. Devotees were devastated. We have displeased our Guru Maharaj. What is the use of everything we have done? He is not pleased. They were very, very disheartened. They came together and had a meeting and were discussing, we have to find him. But where? We searched for him the morning he left, but we could not find him. Then one brahmachari, who was very determined to serve the will of his Guru Maharaj, he said, I think I know where we may find him. Some time back, one of the devotees in the ashram, his watch broke. And this brahmachari fixed his watch very nicely. So he knows how to fix watches. Thus, he must be working in some watch repair shop somewhere. So they all became a little bit excited. They started wandering around, looking every watch repair shop in the city. At one point, they gave the description to one particular watch repair owner, and he said, yes, I think the person you're looking for is in the back room repairing watches. So they went in the back, and there he was sitting. When he saw the devotees come in the door, he began to cry. He said that Krishna has answered my prayer. Ever since I left the temple, I have been so terribly miserable. I wanted to come back, but because of my misbehavior, I was embarrassed to come back. Day and night, I have simply been praying to Krishna to send someone to bring me back to the temple. The devotees, with folded palms, they said, yes, we have come to take you back to the temple. Our Guru Maharaj wants you to come. He's feeling great separation from you. He has told us to find you. Please excuse us for our offenses. And he replied, please forgive me for my offenses. I have caused all of you such trouble and embarrassment. He came back to the temple, and while there, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur exhibited great joy that this lost devotee had returned. And then they celebrated a grand inauguration and installation ceremony. And the devotees understood something very, very important from this message. How important it is to take care of each and every devotee because they are so very dear to Krishna. In fact, Srila Prabhupada would sometimes say, I have shed buckets of blood to make each devotee within this movement. How much we should learn to appreciate and respect that fact. This particular brahmachari, throughout his life, he would tell people this story about the glorious mercy of his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And that same great soul, he ordered Srila Prabhupada, our beloved Guru Maharaj, to go to the Western world and to preach the message of Lord Chaitanya in the English language. This is the current or the flow of transcendental love and mercy that is coming through our disciplic succession. If Srila Prabhupada were to discriminate between one type of living entity and another, who was qualified and who was unqualified, this mission could have never been established. When the devotees presented their mind to Srila Prabhupada, what is our qualification for receiving the highest knowledge of spiritual life? Prabhupada's reply was, you have no qualifications. I have made your qualification. Your only qualification is you have simply received the mercy of the parampara. So as soon as we think ourselves qualified, we are unqualified. We should have this faith and conviction that it is only the mercy of Sri Gurudev and the great Vaishnava Acharyas. That mercy is my qualification. One very transcendental dear disciple of Prabhupada is with us today, His Holiness Srila Jayadvaita Maharaj, who has been preaching with uncompromised enthusiasm the message of our parampara since over 30 years. We would like to invite Jayadvaita Maharaj to kindly speak to us today. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Srila Prabhupada used to say that there's sufficient supply of everything in this world except Krishna consciousness. This is the only lacking feature. I was in Spain. Some minister was there from our Indian embassy. And we were talking about different things. And one of the topics was this India-Pakistan-Kashmir problem. What to do? So the only answer is that there's a shortage of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, practically India and Pakistan were the same country. But now each side is falsely tearing the property apart and claiming that it's mine. Two sides are very busy tearing the place apart to determine whether it's mine or whether it's mine. And they're both thieves because it doesn't belong to either one, it belongs to Krishna. And they're busy tearing up Krishna's property, causing suffering for Krishna's living beings about whether it's mine or whether it's mine. Only shortage Krishna consciousness. This is the problem. And because of that shortage of Krishna consciousness, we're fighting with one another, country against country, or countrymen against countrymen, or friend against friend, husband against wife, godbrothers against godbrothers, over nothing. Prabhupada gave this example that while he was writing Srimad Bhagavatam, the argument at that time was between India and China. And Prabhupada said that for years, India and China have been living as peaceful neighbors. And now, just by the influence of Kali Yuga, by the influence of illusion, they're fighting over some piece of land which is useless for either one of them. This is Maya. That so many men will die for nothing. Only on account of absence of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada taught that the real welfare for the world is to supply this Krishna consciousness. That's the real need. There are many philanthropic people in the world. Some are providing food, some are providing shelter. But the highest welfare work, Rupa Goswami also confirms, is to give this consciousness of Krishna. Prabhupada came to America, and America, everyone goes begging from America. Prabhupada said so many of our Indian leaders come to America. We're a poor country, please give us rice, please give us this, give us that, give us money. But Prabhupada said that I haven't come to beg. I've come to give. With material vision, the others were seeing that we're a poor country, we have to get help from America. And Prabhupada was seeing that we're a rich country, India, because transcendental knowledge is there. And America's a poor country because they're missing the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Vedic knowledge. Therefore, Prabhupada said, I've not come to beg, I've come to give something. Although Prabhupada came in the dress of a beggar, but actually he was giving the most valuable thing. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's purpose, Krishna Prema Pradayate, to give love for Krishna. And love for Krishna means that automatically there'll be love for everyone else. In the same mood, maybe it's in a close by verse, Lord Kapildev says that anyone who's worshipping the deity and not respecting the other living beings is like a person who's doing a yajna and pouring ghee into the ashes. We're performing a fire yajna, so we're supposed to be pouring ghee into the fire, and someone's doing a yajna and pouring ghee into the ashes. That means his yajna is useless. So Lord Kapildev said, anyone who's worshipping, he's thinking, I'm worshipping the deity very nicely, my puja is very good. But he's so busy with his puja that he doesn't care about anyone else. Then he's pouring ghee into the ashes. That means his puja is useless. Prabhupada said, Krishna is never alone. Krishna alone is impersonal. Krishna means with his devotees, with Radharani, with the gopis, with the cowherd boys, with Nanda Maharaj. And finally, Krishna is connected with all the living beings. Mami Vamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. So a person who sees Krishna and he doesn't see anyone else, he's third class in his vision. Or he's a rank neophyte. Therefore we find that so-called religious people are fighting over religion. They're busy fighting over, supposedly, religion. But actually it's not religion. Because they're both busy fighting and forgetting all about God. Or they're saying something about God, but actually they're not understanding God. They think that they're inspired by God to fight against everyone else for establishing their cult, their sect, their religion, their dharma. But not understanding what is actually dharma. Superficially, some rituals, some this, some that. But not understanding actually what is devotional service or what is love of Krishna. Just focused in on their little tiny way of doing things. And anyone who doesn't do it our way, he's kill him. Smash him. This is called Kaitava Dharma. Simply some rituals and some orthodoxy, but not actually respecting other living beings. And then it's on the bodily platform again. That we're Brahmins and they're Shudras, or we're Aryans, they're Lechas, or we're this and they're that. Simply seeing in terms of the bodily conception. And rigidly enforcing these great principles, religious principles. The same example Maharaj has given, that some men were acting to establish religious principles, and actually they were sacrificing religious principles. Dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam. Therefore, it's said that actually to understand what is dharma is not such a simple thing. That I just read some books and then I put on some saffron cloth, or I put on this cloth or that cloth, and I pick up a bead bag, or I put on a rosary, or this, and then I go out and cause hell for everybody else. It's not such a simple thing that I can understand it just by picking up a book and reading some verses. No. Mahajana yena katasapanta. Shrutaya vibhinna. There are different scriptures all over the world. And it's very hard to understand what is religion. This scripture says this, this scripture says that. And everyone has different arguments, tarka pratishta. Someone argues this way, someone argues that way. Someone cites this book, someone cites that book. Nasav rishi rasya matam nabinyam. Unless someone has a different opinion, then he can't be a rishi, he can't be a philosopher. So everyone has something different to say. And therefore it's confusing. What is actually dharma, what is actually duty, what is actually religion? Everyone has a different opinion. Actually, what is dharma is a very confidential thing. Dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam. Therefore, mahajana yena gata sapanta. Actually, to understand what is dharma means that one has to follow in the footsteps of the mahajanas, the great souls. There are standard mahajanas, just like Lord Brahma, Narad Muni, Lord Shiva, the Kumaras, Lord Kapildev, Manu, Prahlad Maharaj, Janaka Maharaj, the father-in-law of Lord Sri Ramchandra, Bhishma Dev, Bali Maharaj, who surrendered everything to Lord Vamandev, Sukadev Goswami, and Yamaraj. These are the standard authorities, mahajanas. So one has to follow in the footsteps of the mahajanas. Mahajana means these authorities, or those who follow in the footsteps of these authorities. Prabhupada one time was reciting this list of authorities, 12 authorities, mahajanas, and devotee was there. He said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, and you're the 13th. And Prabhupada said, and you're the 14th. So one becomes mahajana by following in the footsteps of the mahajanas. Not just superficially, but actually understanding. Yasya deve para bhaktir, yata deve tathagura. Tasyaite katita hyarta prakashante mahajana. One has to have full faith in Krishna and full faith in the bona fide spiritual master who represents Krishna. And for such a sincere person, the actual meaning of Vedic literature will be revealed. Not simply by argument, by study, by speculation. One actually has to follow the parampara system, follow in the footsteps of the mahajanas. Then one can understand what is Krishna, not superficially. The mental speculators, they read a verse like this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. We should see no differentiation between one living entity and another. And therefore they make their philosophy that actually there's no difference between me and you. We're all one soul. There's some Guruji, he signs his letters, he writes to his disciples, And his signature, just like Prabhupada used to sign, your ever well wisher. So this Guruji signs his letters, your own true self.
He does.
Your own true self. That means he's thinking that the Atma in you and the Atma in me is the same Atma. Because Aham Brahmasmi, actually, Brahma means the Supreme. I'm the Supreme, you're the Supreme, therefore I'm you and you're me. No differentiation. Advaita. Everything is the same. But if I'm you and you're me, why should I write a letter to you? So in this way, people are misunderstanding by some sentimental way the whole thing. Because they don't actually follow in the parampara system. They don't actually follow the authorized mahajans. They hear the philosophy of Krishna consciousness or philosophy of Vedic knowledge from some unauthorized source and misunderstand. And then Krishna disappears. They're thinking, I'm Krishna, you're Krishna. They're very democratic. And therefore, it's very nice. Everyone will like it. Yes, I'm also in democracy. Everyone can be in charge. So they like it very much. I can also be God. You can also be God. But this kind of God is useless. Everyone is God. Then no one is God. God means asamardva. Asama urdva. No one is greater than God, and no one is equal to God. So if everyone is equal to God, then there's no God. God means sarvaloka maheshram, the controller of all other living beings. If everyone's the king, then who are the subjects? So all the subjects are falsely thinking themselves king. And they think that in this way it's great. The greatest glorification of the king is to say that all of us are the king. It's nonsense. The Ekala Ishra Krishna Sarvritya. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was given the right understanding that Krishna is the only supreme controller and everyone else is the servant of Krishna. There's no differentiation. Just as in the body, there's no differentiation between the hand and the foot and the whole body. The finger is also non-different from the body. The foot is also non-different from the body. So we don't say, I like my finger, but I don't like my foot. My finger has a problem, I'll spend money. But if it's the foot, then no problem. No. Every part of the body is valuable in relationship to the whole body. And the finger is also non-different from the whole body. But if the finger thinks that I'm the whole body, so everything should come to me. If the hand thinks, all the food should come to me and stay with me. And because I'm non-different from the whole body. So you just give everything to me, I'll keep it. No. It's non-different, still it's different. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy. Achintya Bheda Abheda. Simultaneous difference and non-difference. That we make no differentiation. But who's such a fool that he'll say, oh, the tiger is also Krishna. Let me embrace the tiger. But if you don't embrace the tiger, does it mean that you're in duality, that you don't have spiritual vision? One has to see that the tiger is spirit soul also. Still, he's in the tiger's body. There's a distinction between the tiger and the spiritual master. I'll offer obeisances to my spiritual master. Will I offer obeisances to the tiger? The spiritual master will give blessings. The tiger will simply eat you. So one has to know how to be equal toward all living beings. That will, saintly person, he'll leave some food even for the tiger. The tiger should also be happy. Sarvasukhina bhavantu. All the living beings should be happy. But not that to make the tiger happy, I have to jump into the tiger's mouth. Though distinction and non-distinction at the same time. In the material world, the Madhvacharya therefore taught duality. That living beings are different from other living beings are different from material nature, living beings are different from God, God is different from material nature. Everything is distinct from everything else. Or Ramanujacharya taught the same philosophy as Vishishtadvaita. There's oneness, but everything is distinct at the same time. There's distinction at the same time that everything is one. I've told several times that one time someone was arguing Shankaracharya's doctrine is called Shuddhadvait, the Kevaladvait, complete, absolute oneness. So after some lectures in a college, some professor, I think, was arguing with Prabhupada that everything is one, absolutely one, no difference. Finally, Prabhupada took him by the shirt and said, if everything is one, then why don't you wear a cotton ball instead of a shirt? Very practical. Everything's one. The cotton in the cotton plant and the cotton in the shirt are the same cotton. But no one will take that raw cotton and put it on his body. And there's distinction also. So, to see properly, one has to see through the eyes of the authorities. Ekatam anupashyataha. In the Ishopanishad it said that the Krishna conscious person has no anxiety and no misery because he sees the true oneness of everything, anupashyataha, through the eyes of the authorities. Not just pashyataha he sees, but anupashyataha he sees by following. Our method of seeing is not the method of the mental speculators who try to see everything by their own intelligence. They're described elsewhere, pashyanapi napashyati. They'll see, but they'll not see. Vimudha nanupashyanti. The fools don't see through authority. They see. They're always busy seeing. And they say, can you show me God? Can I see God? They want to see everything. Show me. I want to see. But will they take the process of seeing? No. Why? Vimudha. Mudha means an ass, and vimudha means a first-class ass. Vimudha na anupashyanti. He won't see through the eyes of the authorities. Therefore, he won't see at all, actually. Pashyanti jnana chakshusha. One has to see, not just with the eyeballs, but with eyes of knowledge. Chakudan diloje janme janme. One has to get eyes of knowledge. Gyananjana shalakaya chakshurin militam jini. One has to see with eyes of knowledge. That's seeing. Otherwise, the president of India could walk into this room. I don't know who's the president of India. I'll just see another fellow walking into the room. But if I'm informed by someone who knows, oh, this is the president of India, then I'll see the president of India. Otherwise, I'm seeing, but I'm not seeing. I'm just seeing some other fellow. There's so many Indians, here's another Indian. So many visitors, here's another visitor. But when someone in knowledge tells me, oh, this is the president of India, then I start to see. Oh. So one has to see in that way, through eyes of knowledge given by an enlightened person. One has to see through the ears, not through the eyes. Through the eyes, I'm seeing an ordinary man. Through the ears, I'm seeing the president of India. One has to see through the ears. And in that way, one has to see not only oneself, one has to see all the living beings. When we take instruction from the bona fide spiritual master, then we'll see that it's not just me and Krishna. But there's me, there's Krishna, there are all the other living beings. So one has to be conscious of Krishna, Ishra Sarvabhutanam Hriday Sarjanatistiti, that Krishna is staying within the heart of all the living beings. He's not neglecting that, all right, this one's hard, but not that one over there. Now, I'll stay in the heart of the Hindu, but the Muslims, let there be some vacancy. Maharaj was quoting, Vidyavinayat Sampanye, Brahmane Gavihashtani. Within the heart of the dog, even within the heart of the dog eater, Krishna is there. He's staying within everyone. That means Krishna has affection for all living beings. He's so affectionate that he's traveling from lifetime to lifetime. Even when the living being decides to become a hog and live in the mud and eat stool, Krishna also goes. It doesn't mean that now Krishna has also become a hog, he's also eating stool. No. Not that because the living entity is doing it, Krishna is also doing. Living entity is enjoying eating stool, Krishna is also enjoying. There's bheda abheda. There's oneness between Krishna and the living being, but not that oneness. That the living being is an illusion, therefore Krishna is also an illusion. So if we're an illusion, the Mayavadis will say, I'm God, but only I've forgotten because I'm an illusion. Because I'm an illusion, only for that reason do I not accept, do I not understand, do I not realize that I'm God. But if I'm an illusion and I'm God, that means God is an illusion. What use is that? Why should I want to become God? He's already an illusion because I'm an illusion and he's me. Their philosophy falls down in so many places. Or I approach the guru to get spiritual realization and understand that I'm God and in this way become liberated. But if the guru is God and he's liberated, and there's no difference between one living being and another, then I should automatically be liberated. And every living being in the universe should be liberated because the guru is liberated and the guru is the same as everybody else. As Prabhupada used to say, just see the fun. So one has to see the actual... Therefore, they think, they present themselves as being great saintly persons, kind to all living beings, equal toward everyone, very mild and never say anything, not a harsh word to anyone. But actually, they're committing the greatest violence. Because they're killing the spiritual life of the innocent living beings. Krishna is speaking, Bhagavad Gita, Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja, just surrender to me. Aham Tam Sarva Papyebhyo, I'll give you freedom from all sinful reactions, mokshishyami, I'll liberate you from material existence. You just surrender to me. And someone comes along as a great Guruji, Saruji, and says, don't surrender to Krishna, you are Krishna. Is it not violence? He's killed the chance that you surrender to me and get free from everything, all problems. Then Guruji comes and says, why are you surrendering to Krishna? You are Krishna. It means committing violence. Encouraging suicide. There's some person in America, some doctor, he helps and encourages people in suicide, and the government is after him that you're doing this. So the so-called saintly persons, they're encouraging spiritual suicide. That the last snare of Maya, by which Maya captures the living beings, is this trick to think that I'm God, and that my individuality is an illusion, so I should kill my individuality, extinguish my individuality. Individuality is the cause of desire. Desire is the source of conditional life. So if I get rid of individuality, I get rid of desire. But I got rid of everything. I got rid of myself. You have a toothache and you commit suicide. You won't have a toothache anymore. That's not the prescription of the Vaishnava charges. Vaishnava charges are actually merciful. They want to see everyone engaged in the service of the Lord, chanting Hare Krishna and being happy in the service of Krishna. Thank you very much.
Any questions for Maharaj?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for very enlightening perspective on the impersonalist philosophy. These Mayavads, they claim all is one, but they also claim to accept Bhagavad Gita as an authority. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, parampara, disciplic succession, the knowledge is coming through. So their knowledge is not bona fide, so I don't understand how they can claim to be supported by a bona fide disciplic succession. What do they say and how do we refute them?
They say different things. Sometimes they just say parampara. But though the Pakka Mayavadis can claim that we're in parampara system from Shankaracharya. In their four Vaishnava Sampradayas, Lakshmi Sampradaya, the Brahma Sampradaya, Rudra Sampradaya, Kumara Sampradaya. So similarly, there's a Shankara Sampradaya from Shankaracharya, and he had his disciples, they have their disciples, they have so on. But the difference is that this Sampradaya is not original. The Vaishnav Sampradayas are starting from the Lord Himself. Krishna, Brahma, Narada, Vyas, it's coming through the Parampara system, starting with the Lord Himself. And Shankaracharya's system of philosophy is starting with Shankaracharya. It's also inspired by Lord Vishnu, because Lord Vishnu told Lord Shiva that in Kali Yuga you should go and take the dress of a Brahmin and preach Mayavad philosophy, which is simply another covered version of Buddhist philosophy. And in this way, by preaching this nonsense philosophy, it's time for Kali Yuga. So you preach this impersonalist philosophy, and that will advance the cause of Kali Yuga. So it's a parampara system, but it's not the right conclusion. Is that okay?
Since we are all somehow the other way in this place and we are seeking to be spiritualists, but we know that from history that there have been jihads, there have been crusades, there have been incidences of breaking down mosques, and temples, etc., and also fighting amongst spiritual organizations. One person also told us that there are more cases of saffron-clad people in the courts than any other plainclothes people. So we as spiritualists, what kind of methodology we should adopt and how do we keep a check and balance to see that we don't fall into these traps of violence against our own people and amongst ourselves and while practicing spiritual life?
Therefore, we have to hear from genuine saintly persons and we actually have to be properly directed. Therefore, Radhanath Maharaj is speaking on this point, that there are three classes of devotees: first class, second class, third class. First class only sees Krishna everywhere. He doesn't even preach because he sees that everything is connected with Krishna already. Why do anything? He's absorbed in that highest spiritual vision. And second class devotee, he sees himself and Krishna, the innocent people, the demons, the devotees. So he devotes himself to Krishna, he preaches to the innocent people, he avoids the demons, and he makes friends with the devotees. That's called second class. And third class, he only sees himself in Krishna. So wherever he is, that's where Krishna is. And outside of his realm, God is on our side, not on their side. God is in the temple, he's not in the mosque. He's in the mosque, he's not in the temple. He's in our group, not in that group. He can't see Krishna acting anyplace else but in his own limited jurisdiction. That's called third class devotee. He's a devotee. He believes in God. But he can't see the relationship of God with those outside of his immediate circle, sometimes consisting a circle of only himself. Because he's still self-centered. He's not actually God-centered, Krishna-centered. Some relationship is there, but he's not very advanced. That's called Prakriti Bhakta. And his bhakti is still just hovering above the material platform. Prakriti Bhakta. As long as this Prakriti Bhakti is there, we run this risk of sectarian conflict, communal discord. One has to at least, therefore, Prabhupada taught us, come to the level of second-class devotee to be able to discriminate. First-class devotee, you can't do anything to become. That's only by Krishna's arrangement. But by practice, by proper cultivation of devotional service and knowledge detachment, one can come to the second-class platform. So at least we should come to that platform. On that platform, we won't find this kind of divisiveness. And if we find it, then we have to wonder what kind of platform we're on. Therefore, the science of devotional service, not simply to announce, I'm a devotee, I love God, or I love Allah, or I love Ram, or I love this or that. But actually, one has to be trained by a genuine spiritual master who can give one the eyes of Krishna consciousness so that he actually can see. Is that okay?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Some few days before this World Peace Summit was held.
World Peace Summit was held a few days ago.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. So now everything's peaceful?
Maharaj, people are asking, what is your movement doing regarding the same, considering the fact that our movement is going through some problems, which has been coming in the papers. So people are asking outside, so many leaders are going and speaking, and they're trying to do something. So what is your movement doing?
Yes. Prabhupada met with some so-called spiritual leader who was on his way to such a peace summit. And Prabhupada said, they'll never have peace. He said, you can write it in your notebook. And simply by talking, they'll never have peace. There actually has to be Krishna consciousness. So our movement is meant for spreading genuine Krishna consciousness. When there's genuine Krishna consciousness, then only you'll have peace. Bhoktaram yajna tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. That has to be there. And not simply official, that we're Krishna conscious men. Actually, it has to be Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Krishna purifies. Not that he only purifies the non-devotees, the devotees also he purifies. Now, you think you're a devotee, but you're acting like a nonsense. What kind of devotee are you? Krishna doesn't want to see only superficial displays. Oh, now he's got neck beads, now he has tilak. Oh, he's Vaishnav. But Krishna actually wants to see what kind of Vaishnav you are. You're just superficial Vaishnav, political Vaishnav, exploitive Vaishnav, or actually Vaishnav. One has to become genuine. So our movement is meant for spreading genuine Krishna consciousness, which is the real contribution. Yes, is the real contribution. Even if you have genuine mundane philanthropy, that won't solve the problem. Even if you have genuine peace talks, it won't solve the problem. Because you don't know. You're in ignorance. And even your best, most sincere, most honest attempt will fail. The only actual solution is Krishna consciousness. So one has to become genuinely Krishna conscious and spread genuine Krishna consciousness. That will actually solve the problems.
Maharaj, there are some people who come to hear the personalist philosophy, means our philosophy. They come to hear our philosophy as well as they go to hear the Mahabharata philosophy also. So they say that we go to Mahabharata philosophy because we can take the better part of it. So to such people, what should we preach? What should we say?
You go there and you hear something and you take the better part of it, and you come here and you take the better part of it. It means you haven't understood our philosophy. What's the worst part of our philosophy? You're taking the better part of Krishna's philosophy. What's the worst part of Krishna's philosophy that you're not taking? I'll tell you what the worst part is. The worst part is Sarva Dharman Paratyajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. For everything else, you'll come here, and for that, when it comes to that verse, you'll slip out and you'll go next door. Then you'll say, I'm taking the best of both philosophies. Our philosophy is Mayavadi Bhasha Shunile Hoy Sarvinasha. That if you go hear the Mayavad philosophy, you'll be ruined. That's another part that you slip out on. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, don't go here. That Avaishnava Mukod Girnam Putam Harikatamritam. Avaishnava Guru Nasyad. One should not hear from the non devotees. It's like milk touched by the lip of the serpent. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has ordered that don't hear from these people, and then you're going to hear and then saying, well, I'm doing the best of both. No, you're not. It's your own kichri. But it's not the right thing. And then you go, I'll take a course in this college, I'll take a course in that college, and I won't enroll in any college, I'll just take the best courses from each one. No. You won't even become a Pakka Mayavadi. Neither here nor there. So make up your mind. Either go over there and become God, or come here and become a servant of God. But you can't be both.